Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2017 International Film Festival, Rotterdam, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Mars Roberge, who is here presenting an incredible film that I watched yesterday, and it's called Scumbag. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So the first question is kind of the obligatory question, and would you be able to tell our listeners a little bit about the film and maybe introduce it in the story?
Sure. It's called Scumbag, and it's semi-autobiographical. My life during the 90s as a telemarketer in Toronto at a corrupt telemarketing company that was shut down for fraud. The actual line for the movie is, a boy needs a summer job but doesn't realize it's going to cost him his life.
Right. And so it's semi-autobiographical. Like, how do you mean exactly? Like, what's...
It's basically my life I lived in the 90s in Toronto. Yeah. You know, I got kind of... I was a DJ at goth bars at night, and I needed a day job to pay my rent. So one of the customers said, "Hey, come work with me at this job." And you know, I worked with crazy people, ex-cons, murderers, drug dealers, and just hanging out with these people over a course of time kind of like made me fall into the same world as them. Kind of like Jack Nicholson's character in One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest, yeah. when he says, "Well, I don't want to go to jail, but I'll just go to the crazy house for a while," and he ends up becoming crazy. That was kind of, just need a job to pay my rent this month, and I ended up getting sucked in, and it sucked the life out of me, and it took me, let's just say I'm in 16 years of recovery, yeah, where I could remember what happened, and now it's a comedy, you know, like to look back at those times.
Because also it's the times as well. It's the 1990s, so you're revisiting those times as well in terms of the culture of the times.
The culture of the times, and it's funny because what goes around comes around. Back then, it was very like. A world of punk and hardcore and goth bars and stuff. Today it's like very like Britney Spears and like very like very kind of straight laced. But now that the politics have shifted to more of a right wing kind of stance, there's more of a need for an anarchist stance as well. So that whole time period is happening right now, and I feel like Scumbag, people call it a punk movie, is the launch of a whole new hardcore revolution. And I'm happy to be in Rotterdam, because before I came here, the only thing I knew about Rotterdam was the hardcore techno that came out of here. We called it Rotterdam, is the hardest electronic music in the world. And for a kid sitting in his Toronto apartment, like we like to listen to that kind of music and go to raves that played that kind of stuff at that time. So that time is very well now. And there's references to a 90s film in it where you see people, what their Walkman CD players and stuff like that, like the clothing styles of the leopard print coats for the girls and the fun fur jackets and all that. Very much was in that film. So.
Yeah, individuality as well. Like every character has their own personality in a way.
Yeah, they're all drawn together by this awful job, but you've got like the gutter punk, you've got like the fashionista girl, you know, although that term wouldn't have been around in the 90s, and then you've got like the goth guy, like everybody's their own individual thing. They were all striving to be an individual, but they all get along with this job. And it's funny because Toronto, which prides themselves as like being multicultural and diverse, well, they're not like that with groups. Like, if you look like a goth, you can only stay on that side of the street and hang out at that goth club. You can't go to this house music club and DJ house music if you look like a goth. See, that changed for me when I moved to New York City and started DJing with people like superstar DJ Kiyoki, who's in this movie, where you could be whoever you want to be, but what you do has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But in Toronto at the time, like, you could get along and all be part of something if you worked at the same job, and that's kind of what this movie was doing.
That's interesting. You mentioned a specific word there, anarchy. Also punk, I guess, in a way, because I think one of the great things about the movie is that it doesn't necessarily have a beginning and a middle and an end. So there's something exciting happening in the progression of the film too, where like it can be seen as a series of events. And I was wondering, how do you sit down and write the screenplay for that? How do you plan it out?
I don't like following any kind of formulas. Like I went to film school. I got a BFA from York University back in 95. And Hollywood's very about formulas. And Hollywood didn't pay me to make this movie. I'm starving because I paid myself to do this movie. And so in writing it, the main things to me, the most important thing to me about this movie were the characters. And I also was really influenced by movies like The Breakfast Club, where not a lot happened, but like it seemed real, and you would get your own revelations just by the conversations that happened in this room. And that's kind of how I wanted to do the movie. I wanted to do it in real time, where like you could jump into this movie any point in it, and you could start a movie from that point on. Because there's going to be new characters. There's over 200 characters in this movie. They're not extras. They're actual characters. And so I wrote basically from memory, word for word, everything that happened in my life then. It was like Nick Zed said, how do you have a photographic memory? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe God talked to me, because like one night I woke up and I'm like, I can remember everything that happened that week 25 years ago, word for word, and I'm just going to start writing it like that. And then I kind of went back and added the relationship and, you know, a bit of a story point with that. But for the most part, everything happened word for word. My problem was when I finished the script, I think it was 400 pages the first time round. So I'm like, I have enough material for a TV series, no doubt, and a sequel. But I had to go back and cut it. And my movie before this was a documentary, and I was the editor, so I know all about like cutting like hours out of a movie. My crew aren't too happy, because I'm like, let's just film everything and I'll decide what to cut out of it later. They're like, what, you want to film days and scenes? I'm like, yeah, I can't decide yet what's going to work and what's not. I got to see it as we go. And then when I started filming, I'm like, be nice to add like a Grease kind of musical at this point. And let's add this. I met a cool actor, a musician that I always wanted to meet. I just wrote a new scene for them. Let's put that in. We're going to film this person tomorrow and that. So I kind of went like that, and that's how I did it. Like, I think it might be hard for me to get a job as a screenwriter, but like as a filmmaker, I'm the screenwriter and editor. So I'm like, look, I know what's in my head. I can't fully explain what's in my head to somebody else. So let's just do this, and just trust me, it's going to be good when it's done. And that's kind of how we did everything.
Yeah. So in a way, like the fact that you put in your own money to do this also gave you independence, and you really treasure that. Like you really go for it then.
I really went for it. And lucky for me, I had a very understanding cast and crew that all worked on spec. They're really hoping I sell this thing, and I'm of my word. I'll pay everybody when I do, but everybody worked on spec pretty much. And, and yeah, I wanted to do the best I could do. And every day I shot, I treated like the last day of my life, where I'm like, I've got to do this. Like, I'd shoot a scene a month, and then I'd go home and spend the whole month editing the whole scene. So I'm like, okay, we got this. If I never can shoot any more again, I got a movie here. So that's kind of how I got, like, you could kind of cut into this movie at any point, and you'd have a new movie.
I guess that, like, now that when it was finished, when not, now it's finished, it's having its world premiere actually today, later today, so you almost, was it difficult to even finish the movie and to consider that it was done, to kind of just be over with it?
Not really, because I'm an editor. It was nice to have a script that was finished, and I could say, okay, look, this is it. The hardest part for me was cutting stuff out. I had to cut an hour of scenes out of the movie. And then I left it at 114 minutes. We toyed with the idea of cutting it down to 90, and then I looked at the 90-minute version as a Hollywood formulaic version. I'm like, I didn't put Nick Zed and Keith Morris in this movie and Ron Jeremy to be a formulaic Hollywood movie. It's a cult movie, and cult sometimes scares, like, you know, the money in Hollywood. They don't go after cult films, but hey, I'm sure they would have went off to the Rocky Horror Picture Show later if they knew how well it was going to still be lauded 40 yeah. years later, you know, people still pay to go and see that. They don't necessarily go and pay and go see Happy Gilmore this year. There's not lineups, but you're going to see a lineup every night, every Friday night at midnight to see the Rocky Horror Picture Show somewhere. So that's kind of my take, you know, like my influences were films like Cheech and Chong, Up in Smoke and that. Because what I liked about, say, Cheech and Chong, Up in Smoke was before I seen it, I never knew what, like, a cholo was. I didn't know, but I think he did it from a point of knowing, I want you to know a little bit about my life and this is how it goes on. Or seeing the movie Beat Street and learning about graffiti artists and rappers for the first time and breakdancers. Like, the only person that could have wrote that movie was somebody that was living it. And and it was interesting. It wasn't my world at all, but hey, man, I threw on those breakdancing parachute pants and stuff like shortly after that in the 80s and wanted graffiti on walls and everything too, you know, because it touched me. I learned something that was interesting, and then there was a story within it. And there's a story within mine. There's a love relationship that goes wrong and there that people can relate to, that even if you don't relate to the crazy characters, you can relate to the love relationship. Everybody's gone through breakups. Everybody can relate to some job that they've had at one time or another and didn't like. You know, I really play on that. From my point of view, it was easy to edit together compared to a documentary where I had 10 years of footage, and I was like, well, where do I start? I don't even know how to put this together, you know?
Uh-huh, yeah. But it's a fun movie. It's funny as well. It's very funny. There's great music in it, great cameos. There's really so much going on in this film. And yes, maybe as a final question, could we talk about the music a little bit?
Yeah, I invented a new genre of film for this called Rocktopia. And the reason for it was, being a DJ my whole life, like 26 years, like music plays everything to me. Like, I actually get inspired and start writing when I'm listening to songs, and I base my whole scene off a song. So there were some points in the movie that I'm like, this, I'm getting so creative vibes from this song right now. I don't want to just do the scene. Let's break it into a music video in the middle of the movie. And my one of my producers was like, you can't do that. This isn't a musical. It's either you're a musical or you're not. And I sat back and I remember I had flashbacks to arguing with my professors in film school all the time, where they told me you always have to have a backing argument for what you do. So then I created this whole manifesto and came with 7 points, you know, of this is a Rocktopia film, and a Rocktopia film is the struggles of fighting against the ideals of a utopian society where the only form of escape is to rock out. and so my rules with that are a couple of the characters in the movie have to perform a song to heighten the protagonist's stress that they actually wrote and sing in the movie. You know, I have about 4 people do that in my movie. Then I made other rules so that not everybody can do it, like you have to have over 200 actors in the movie. This is not, unlike Dogma, this is, you have to use the highest production quality you can. So we shot it in 4K raw. There's no excuse to shoot, like my film was, even though it, like, I get mad if anybody would, I'd want to hit somebody if they said this was a B movie, because this movie was 30 terabytes of space. I know multi-million dollar Hollywood movies that don't take up as much space as our film. So, and it was color corrected on a flame. So production quality is very important to me, mainly because my last film that I shot was on SD, where I argued with a guy that said, HD, SD, it's the same thing. You know, now today I can't sell the thing. So I'm like, no, we're going to shoot like in futuristic formats. You know, and we shot on two Blackmagic cameras that shot in 4K raw each, so that's another rule. And then, there has to be that the music is a big influence. And then I also made another rule where you've got to be able to take your idea and brand it into multi formats, where it could be a play, it could be sequels and that, so that the movie never ends. It creates its whole cult world that goes on forever. Uh-huh. Like, I've got ideas of miniature golf courses and action figure sets and everything. Like, I'm like, hey, let's be Star Wars. We're called Scumbag, but why can't we do that? You know, I don't like limits. And And yeah, a lot of handheld shots, and like there's an element of luck we call magic that's part of Rocktopia. And I don't mean like black magic. I mean like most of the, a lot of the characters that I got from my movie all happened the night before, and they were like legendary people, and we would shoot in locations that we just find the day before because I had no location. So there's a luck element, so that's another part. So in the future, if anybody wants to make a Rocktopia film, just send me your idea and I'll give you the stamp. Yes, this is a Rocktopia film, you know.
So
you
can Rocktopia will continue after Scumbag.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. You created a whole universe. You haven't just created a film here, inside and outside the movie.
That's right. And I really want to say thank you to the Netherlands and the Netherlands people, and especially the programming committee here at International Film Festival Rotterdam, for showing me that you can be an artist and not have limits and not have to follow formulas. Because until Rotterdam, I was really under the belief that film festivals is about paid Hollywood money, major stars and formulaic cast, which makes everybody wanting to make the same movie over and over and over again, you know. Right. And I didn't want to make the next Tarantino movie or Scorsese movie. I wanted to make the Mars movie about my life and stuff that I know, because I don't hang around gangsters. I can't tell you what a Italian gangster is, you know, but I could tell you about what a telemarketing office is more than office space, because I lived it, you know. And somebody said, like, some of it's so non-PC, and like, how could you say certain things? And I'm like, I'm not racist and I'm not sexist, but I wanted to say exactly what these people said, because it happened in life. You can't be afraid of life. Like, that's life, you know. And somebody said this, I love that Rotterdam, International Film Festival Rotterdam, labeled this film slap in your face, take it or leave it comedy. And I'm like, wow, they got it. Nobody, I never heard that term, but I'm going to use that term because that's exactly what it is. So thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a fantastic film. Great, great, great stuff. And by the way, I'm more interested in films about people working in a telemarketing office than, you know, flying off to the moon again and talking to aliens. But anyways, it was a great pleasure talking with you. Thanks very much for joining us.
And, thank you.
Thanks very much. And I wish you all the best with Scumbag and Rocktopia.
Thank you very much. And great, good, best of, have a wonderful year.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Wonderful life.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.